This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Numerous organizations have been trying to advance a United Nations mandate to get medicines to developing countries where millions of people are dying from diseases such as AIDS. In Africa, nearly 30 million people are living with HIV, but only 2% of people there who need AIDS treatment are receiving it. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports on the challenges facing organizations trying to follow through on health initiatives.
In 2001, United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan called on more affluent countries to donate $10 billion to treat people suffering from killer diseases in the developing world. The first step was the creation of the Global Fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria, but contributions to the fund have been slow in coming. Anil Soni, an advisor to the Global Fund, says it had to overcome one hurdle after another just to get going.
We've spent 2 years developing systems, giving grants, beginning to give money, but ultimately that's not winning the war on AIDS. That's getting ourselves geared up for it. Winning the war on AIDS is going to be solved in the trenches, and that means getting money to people who need it. That's the hurdle we have to meet this year, and of course, we will meet it.
Developed nations have pledged a little over $2 billion to the fund, which has approved grants of $1 billion, but so far just $230 million have been transferred to programs in poor countries.
In a number of countries that have received our grants, good things are happening, but at a small scale. In Haiti, for example, there are well over 1,000 people who now have access to AIDS medications that didn't before. They've opened up a new clinic to provide services to people for AIDS, TB, and malaria. They're preventing mother-to-child transmission of HIV, and they're providing DOTS treatment for tuberculosis. They're doing a tremendous amount of work in a very short amount of time, but they're still scaling up.
Soni says funds dispersed so far have helped train health workers in Rwanda to do AIDS care and to expand a successful tuberculosis treatment program in India.
Our money is doing both things around the world. It's allowing some countries to do things they've never done before. It's allowing other countries to extend what they know how to do and what they're already doing successfully.
International health experts have questioned whether poor countries have the systems and workers, in other words, the absorptive capacity, to deliver treatment. The World Health Organization is trying to speed up the process with its 3x5 initiative. The aim is to get anti-AIDS drugs to at least 3 million people by 2005. Included in the WHO's 3 million are people covered not only by the fund, but President Bush's emergency plan for AIDS relief, the World Bank, and an initiative undertaken by the Clinton Foundation. President Clinton has been using his political clout to mobilize business and health professionals to help countries devise plans. The foundation's Lynn Margerio says they're changing the economics of AIDS care.
You develop the protocols for training of the nurses, the doctors, and the counselors, and you can use those protocols to train not only 50 nurses, but you can scale that up to train 500 nurses. You develop efficient processes for clearing customs, for transporting those drugs to central medical stores, for tracking the inventory. You can send those drugs to a handful of clinics initially, but then also put in place the systems for getting those drugs out to 100 clinics eventually.
The Clinton Foundation's most important contribution to date has been a system which allows countries to purchase generic drugs through the foundation at even greater discounts than these drug companies were already offering.
When the suppliers have an understanding of the volumes that are going to be needed, they're able to better plan their production, they're better able to negotiate discounts with their own suppliers, and thereby pass on those savings to the buyers.
The price of treating one patient in countries that were part of this agreement has dropped from $350 to $140. Margerio says it has allowed countries like the Bahamas to more than triple the number of people getting the anti-AIDS drugs.
So they started out in a hospital in Nassau, the Princess Margaret Hospital, and they will be running out of space there to treat everyone. Their strategy is to expand the program to a number of other clinics throughout the islands in the Bahamas. And we were able to provide them with these reduced prices for drugs.
All of these organizations say that the billions in funding promised by the U.S. is key. But the expertise of agencies like the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the National Institutes of Health will also be available. Even so, Ambassador Randall Tobias, the coordinator of the Emergency AIDS Relief Plan, acknowledges that the administration will be on a learning curve.
I want everyone to understand, starting with the people in the United States government, that this has to be a work in progress. This is not a case where you can go out, figure out what the answers are, put them in a document, and go forward, because there is so much to learn and so much we need to bring together.
By the end of this year, hundreds of thousands should get the anti-AIDS drugs out of the millions who need them now. The hope is that while the learning curve has been slow in this phase, once health systems and workers are ready, the process will move faster and the money will flow to match the capacity. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Washington.